Bayon.
All right, we are back for another episode of Hell, I Don't Know. And I don't know, what are we talking about today? Passion, passion. I'm feeling passionate. Let's talk about passion projects.
Passion, passion. I'm feeling passion.
I am. I'm feeling very passionate.
So that's your check-in for the day. You're feeling passionate.
I am. I'm feeling extremely passionate. I feel passionate about this that we're doing. This is really exciting. I love talking to you guys. I feel passionate about music, being healthy, and all the other good shit. What are you guys passionate about?
I feel passionate about gratitude.
Ooh,
right, like now. That. I just feel like moving forward in my life, I really just want to make sure I'm taking stock and inventory of all the things that I'm grateful for, that I've had, that I, you know, even if I want more, I'm happy for what I have right now. And yeah, I'm passionate about that because it's just going to like help me out in so many different parts of my life.
Mm.
Yeah. Passionate about gratitude.
I love that. Come on, gratitude. What are you passionate about?
Money.
Okay.
I'm just playing.
Which is what you have.
I mean, wow. Not surprised.
Wow. No, I'm passionate about, I would say bonding right now. I'm more of a recluse. I know, right?
I was not expecting that.
I wasn't expecting that either. Are you being fake?
No, I'm being so serious. Like, y'all know, like, I'm a recluse. I be at home away from people. But, like, this time out with you guys and hanging with you guys has been, like, food for my soul. So maybe creating more opportunities to hang out and bond with people. I mean, don't hold me to it because this may not happen. But I'm enjoying it right now. So I'm passionate about bonding and making connections.
Okay.
Beautiful. Let's just try to keep those connections.
I mean, I keep my connections. What about you?
You know what? You do.
Mm-hmm.
You do. I'm not even going to start on that one because you're right.
I can go to any state and they still what? There. Okay. Solid, baby.
All right.
Just kidding. I love you, Daryl.
Today, here y'all go. Today, I would love to talk about passion projects. The good, the bad, and the ugly, all of it. I've definitely had quite a few passion projects that I've either completed or not finished. Maybe still in the progress, still in the works. I know I've talked to you about some. I know I talked to my friends about some, but I feel like passion projects are like some of the most fun stuff that I feel like I get to do. I feel like that's when I actually get to be the most creative and I'm the most like free with it. And I try not to think about other people's opinions about it when I'm like working on that passion project. Cause I'm like, this is about what I want. This is what I see. This is my vision. Oh, wow. you know, so I really, there's a lot of things that I like to, do when it comes to that, but also too, I feel like I sometimes get like stuck too at the same time. Like I'll start it, I'll have a good idea, but then sometimes I'm like, I don't know how to like finish it. Like I need certain parts or aspects to like create this vision. Or if it's like something that I see and it's not coming out the way I want it visually, then I'm like, then I feel like I just leave it to the wayside and it never gets completed.
I get that.
So have you, I want to know, like, is there any passion projects that you guys have worked on, currently working on, or want to do?
Yeah, I can go, Daryl. Wanna go first?
Yes.
Yes, I have a few passion projects I'm working on. I'm writing 2 albums.
Ooh. I like how you just casually just, I'm writing 2 albums.
I mean,
two.
Yeah. For me, for anyone who don't know, I don't sing my own music. I refuse to, but I like to write music. Sorry. There's a lot happening over here.
I was like, what are you doing? I was like, honestly, it's been confusing me for a minute. I just wasn't going to say anything. I'm glad you addressed it. Thank you.
Sorry. It's like my earring was like itchy in my ear with this like headset. So it was like acting. It was a lot happening.
Really? Anyway,
Yeah. Okay, my bad. But yeah, I'm writing two albums. So I'm a person that doesn't sing my own music. So I have to like write music to storytell. And then I find people to sing said songs on there that match the story that's in my brain. So I'm working on two different albums. One is a gospel album and one is an album that's a little bit more personal. So I'm writing, that one is a little scarier for me.
A heathen album.
It's not a heathen album. It's not gospel. It's more R&B-ish, more R&B soul. And yeah, so I'm working on that one. And I'm also working on a play.
Wait, hold on. How far along are you into the albums?
In the gospel album, I have 5 songs written. In the R&B album, I have 4.
And how long do you want them to be?
The R&B one, I want to be 10 because it's 5 and 5. And the gospel, by 8.
Okay. Nice.
And these probably won't come out into like 5 to 6 or 7 years because making music is expensive. Very, very expensive.
That means you're making timeless music if you can say they're not coming out for that amount of years.
So. Wait, did you say 10 years?
I said like 5 to 7 years. Because how expensive songs are for me.
5 to 7 years.
Do you know how much I pay per song?
That's when you expect it to come out?
To be done? Yeah. Are you judging me?
No. I just... you said 5 to 7 years, and I'm just like, that seems like...
That's so funny. I feel like it just hit you. You're like, wait.
Yeah, I heard, it's like I heard it, but it just like...
I mean, it might can come out faster if I can just find like $30,000 sitting around somewhere.
Yeah, but like, I just feel like...
Maybe it's not too. Is it not top? Like, that's not top of the priority list as far as the passion projects? Or
it's up there, but it's like, again, I think the music will be ready when it's ready. Some songs people wrote... recorded 10 years ago and they finally made it to an album. So like that's, I don't see anything wrong with it. But yes, I consider the music is, because I don't write current trend. I think you've heard some of my music. I don't write like current trendy music. I write like more standard, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just felt like a long time to me. But
how long have we been waiting for your album?
Ooh. Well. So, so there have been multiple passion projects okay. that I have had.
Well, Darryl, tell us about your passion projects.
Yeah, I'm exercising kindness and restraint.
I love you, Darryl. I love you so much.
I am. My therapist sessions are really working, just so that everyone knows that. Yes. I have multiple passion projects that I have. Been doing, and I actually wanted to address this. So what Nikki was so eloquently alluding to was that I record music. I have recorded quite a bit of music. I have honestly hours of music sitting on a hard drive. And I just get inspired, and I've only released 2 songs, but I think I pulled one of them. And honestly, that for me has 100% been a passion project. I've gotten into other things that we'll talk about, but that I haven't released honestly because I was very I wasn't confident in it. I wasn't confident about like releasing music and having people listen to me. I wasn't a place in myself. Like, I am a very confident person, but like not in that realm. I'm not confident enough to not allow it to shake how I view myself as an artist. So I was not releasing them. Also, as he knows, the most recent work that I've completed was a few years ago, and it came after a breakup, That wasn't shade.
I didn't say a word.
It came after a breakup, and I wrote 2 EPs after a breakup. 2, baby.
It's so interesting how breakups always inspire.
I did. I love it. I did, and it inspired a lot. And I told the person, I told the person that I did it. And I was like, it'll never come out. Because one, I am off of that situation, and I am very much happy in the situation that I am in now, so I don't really need to, you know, put that out. But also, like, that was just a little bit too personal for me. Like, I ain't trying, like, that's just way too personal for me to be, like, that open mm-hmm. about certain things. So those passion projects have been put on pause for now.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Because you are an incredible talent. I'll tell you that. You are a good songwriter. You have a great voice. Would you ever allow someone else to sing that EP, like different people to sing the EP. So it's not, so it's, I mean, even though it's still tied to you, but it's not you singing it, to allow someone else to feel the music. Because I know you, I know it's quality.
I would, but there are certain things that I wouldn't. Like on one of the songs on one of those EPs is something that my mother told me about that relationship, and like the song came out of that conversation, and I wouldn't let anyone else sing that just because that feels very, very, very personal. But other than that, I think I would definitely be open to it.
Like, you should explore this.
We change the names.
Change names, and like some. I'm also, when people will take, when other people take on it, they digest what the song means to them.
That's fair.
Because for example, I wrote "Gone Forever," and it's about death, but the person who sang it saw it as a relationship dying. Yeah. So they'll interpret your music based on how they relate. Yeah,
I will look into that.
Yeah,
I think you should.
I actually like that idea. I think you should, especially if it was good, passionate music. Then I feel like you should put it out there. So, but I also get it too. Like putting personal stuff out there is very, can be scary. Mm-hmm. So, well, I'm trying to think. Do I have any? Well, I had one that still hasn't seen the light of day, but it's still, you know, being worked on. I know I talked to you about it. I was going to do. I'm sorry. I'm going to, I don't know, it might change now, but it was going to be a mix, but a visual mix. And I was going to like use the camera that Nikki gave me to kind of like record the entire summer last year and like put it with the mix and just kind of like, I was like, I really want to do this like visual thing with like my mixes, because a lot of times when I'm creating it, I'm thinking of it visually before I'm even thinking of it, like just the music part. So I love visuals and I love music, so I'm always trying to like blend both worlds. So it's definitely going to happen. I'm definitely going to have a mix and visuals mixed together, and I also too, it'll be more production with me on it compared to just other people's music too. So that's something that's like will be worked on and will get completed. When I don't know. but it's gonna happen.
I have a question. It's tied into this. Should we, for our passion project, should we start like having accountability partners?
I was just about to mention that. I was about to be like, if we leave this conversation and we are not like, you need to do at least something on this by this date, then we don't even need to be talking about
this. This is the point of this conversation. So yeah, that way we can hold each other accountable for
it. And y'all do that too. Y'all find you an accountability partner that's gonna say, hey, you said you was gonna get this shit done. You need to get this shit done.
Yeah. I'm saying right now, I don't have a date, so don't come over here.
Well, you said 5 to 7 years, so I mean, I guess me and Derek got time to keep track with you.
But y'all know, if I say I'm going to get it done, I'm going to get it done.
No, absolutely. I feel like all of us in here are going to get it done.
You know what, though? It's never, for me, the thing about ever getting it done. It's like, just like how we're prioritizing like the things that bring us joy for me. If we work on it, I mean, and there's no right or wrong answer to this. It's like if you work on your passion project every 15 minutes, every 3 months, or even 3 years, if it brings you joy, that's great. But I do think that like, since it is a passion project, I would love to see people that I care about inject it more into their lives, since that is an authentic moment of joy and happiness and content that you get from doing that. I would just like to be like accountable for like just holding that together, making sure you're taking care of yourself in that way. It can be perceived as self-care to me to work on things you're passionate about.
I agree. Do we ever feel like sometimes our passion projects that our passion change and that project no longer suits us?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yes. All the time.
I have to say, because I'm actually working on a new version of it now, but like I have been writing, I've been trying to write, and I've written versions of a solo play. Mm-hmm. A solo play, and you know about this. We even went to like one person plays to like at a theater festival just because I was trying to like get ideas. I wrote a whole draft of one, and it was basically a play based on like my experiences as a substitute teacher in New York City. I don't know where that came from.
That North Carolina came straight on out.
Anyway, that honestly was trash. So I was just like not working on this anymore. And then I took a course in solo playwriting at Barrow Group. It was a good really good course. I took that course and I started writing this new play. And I ain't gonna say what it's about, but it's a great idea. It's a phenomenal idea that I is based on my relationship with my younger brother. And so I was trying to write it, and it started off being this one thing. And then like I took like 3 months off from it. Just like I didn't do anything on it. And then I came back to it and I was like, I can't let this go, but my idea of everything that I've written has just been completely changed. Like to the point where like whole plot lines just like went out the window. And I was like, I feel like I was at like maybe 40%, and I feel like I just went back to 12, to be honest. Cause like I thought it was so good. And then like looking at it, I was just like, nope, I changed my mind. This whole thing needs to change. So I haven't let that one go yet. I'm still working on that one. And hope, you know, I'm gonna be accountable to have a draft written.
We will be holding you accountable now, yes, that you mentioned it.
Have that draft.
And ready. Here's the thing, from a writing standpoint, you're always gonna feel like that. Mm-hmm. It sucks unless you want to just be like other people we know out here in this world who just write it and say, let's film and shoot and put it up. Your passion project should. Why y'all breathing heavy? I ain't called a name or nothing. Anyway. I feel like your passion project should like push you and scare you and be like, I want to change this, I want to adjust this, because it means that you're still passionate about it, in my opinion. And when you release it, you're gonna always be like, dang, I could have did this. That to me, that lets me know that you're in line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see the one that I've scrapped like 10 times is as the DJ, just being like in like different backgrounds and settings. Like I was like, oh, it'd be cool, like I'm DJing like and there's like the mountains and like even like where we are right now, like the scenery behind me while I'm DJing, I was like, that would be cool. But then I started to like say fuck it, because then I get on YouTube and I see like a million other DJs doing the same thing, so I'm like, forget it, like this is pointless. And I think I'm always trying to like do something original and not like something that everyone else does. But then I feel like that's such a touchy topic when people say original, because like at this people are like, well, how much original shit can you possibly do at this point, because so many people have done a lot of things already. So it's like, but it's also too, I feel like it's all about how you do it and in your own way. I think you can still make it original as you can possibly, but like but again, I think I'm just trying, I think I've always been like this though, since like a kid. I've always been like, I don't want to do what everyone else is doing. I want to like do something different. I want to like, and that's like my lane. But then I feel like that's what makes me go off of the passion project. Cause then I'm like, oh, I see other people doing it. And I'm like, oh, too late.
Here's the thing though. Here's what I'm gonna say.
Please.
About how I feel about that. And I get the hesitancy, cause I feel that way sometimes too. But I heard an analogy. I don't even remember where I heard it, but it's such a good analogy. When you go to the superstore, when you go to the supermarket.
I feel like that's a store for superheroes.
When you go to the grocery store and you need bread, you go to the bread aisle and there are millions of different types of bread, but you want bread. You go get Wonder Bread, that's your bread, and you love that. The person behind you, go get Marita Bread, that's their bread.
What's a Marita Bread?
Y'all know Marita Bread is? Like, it's like a brand.
I've never heard of Marita.
It's Marita. Anyway, my point is that even the idea of oversaturation, okay, great. Nothing being original, okay, great. But in that sea of sameness, there is somebody that's going to latch on to what you have that's unique from what everyone else has. And I think that I think that more often than not, that very idea is a concept that is meant to oppress us into thinking that we don't need to get this off the ground. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, if it's a passion project, it doesn't matter if it's similar to someone else's. It's what you're passionate about. It doesn't matter if a million other people are doing the same thing. We need to be comfortable with sharing what we have to share without this like thing saying that it has to be the most unique, different thing. Human experiences are not always that unique. If I'm being honest, we share a lot of the same experiences, which is why our culture and our art reflect that, just different variations of the same experiences. I think we just need to be comfortable with what we have to bring and what we have to offer and let that be what it is.
Absolutely. And I was telling, I tell you, Jordan, like your transitions and your DJ sets are really like, I don't really hear that out anywhere. So even if you are doing a DJ set in the mountains and someone else has done that, what people hear from you is going to be different. And that's the bulk of it. Only thing is the same as the backdrop.
That's true. And great points. I love that. And I think that's the thing too. I'm just always like thinking, I don't want to be copy, you know, and I don't want to get like in trouble for shit like that. But you guys are right. I think that's, I'm going to take this and run with it. See, this is why I like having these conversations. But yeah, so that's my passion project, your guys's. And I think we already talked about what we have coming up. So I feel like, if anything, I want to know what has been the hardest one to like really either get off the ground or to really like move, like to like get move forward with it. Cause like what, like what's basically holding it back? Cause I kind of talked about mine, what's holding mine back, but like what's holding any of yours back?
This musical called Choices. Huh. I've been writing it since 2016. And it is,
oh wow, 2016, we are in 2024.
I know. Wow. 8 years. And what's holding it back is because I have grown as a writer, I believe, and I'm still growing as a writer. And it's interesting because when I first was working on this musical, I had the idea of I'll write the script, I'll hire songwriters to write the music. I went through like 9 or 10 people and then like a single thing that they produced for it. So then I said to myself and said, okay, Jesus, am I going to have to write this myself? Yes. So that's what has happened. So I've been writing songs for it, but it's what's holding it back is I don't put as much time in that musical anymore because I know once I do put a bunch of time in it, it's going to be, what's the analogy? It's like when you take something out and then everything else moves. You take something, you move.
It's like a domino effect.
Yes, the domino effect. So it's like moving one piece, it's going to unravel the entire thing. So that's scaring me because I know once that happens, that's my entire focus is going to have to be there, and I'm not ready for it to be there. That's my. What about you?
Wow.
Right.
I'm first like, of all, you know, like corporate Aaron. Wow. No. Yes.
I feel like that was such a. Yeah. I don't know. That was a really deep answer in a way. But okay, I like it.
I will say I want to, various things keep me from like getting these things done, specifically the ones that are really hard, which I think most things that are harder to do a lot of times take longer because you just have to put more effort into it and then you also don't always want to. But I also want to say that like in the very most practical sense, one of the things that keeps me from completing things, my projects that are hard, that and the one specifically that I'm thinking of is that play, is because as a person that is severely ADHD and having had taken, like, I'm not kidding, I grew up taking medication for ADHD, and as an adult, I don't take it anymore, but like, I'm very much ADHD, which our entire viewing audience will probably know as a fact. But no, I'm very ADHD, and oftentimes, I just lose track of thought. Like, I just lose track of thought. Yeah, I will have a project that I'm, and I will be actively working on for like 3 weeks. Like my entire, I eat, sleep and breathe this. Like I'm working on it. I can't think of anything else. And then one day I take a break or I leave town or I do something and I come back and I don't touch it again for like months. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the thing is that for me, it's so hard to focus sometimes. It's so hard to like stay committed, especially when if I'm doing something I'm passionate about, there's emotions that are wrapped up in that. And if my emotions changed, then my ADHD tells me that the whole thing's got to change and that what I already have now is not good enough when it's really just a passion project. So it doesn't matter if it's good, to be honest. Yeah, I said that because I know for a fact that there are people that are probably listening to this right now, I know there's so many people that are creative or have something that they want to do or something that they want to put in place, but like they lack the focus to actually complete it, and it makes them feel like they aren't capable of doing it. Because I have felt that way, and I feel that way oftentimes. And, you know, I'm just saying, I don't have any words of affirmation for that other than to say that, like, I also feel that way, and it is not crazy, and it is not a singular experience in any way, shape, or form. I just want to say that.
You know, I don't have, like, you know, I don't think that I have ADHD, but I feel like in moments, I feel like when it comes to those things, I feel like it's hard for me to, like I can't have any distractions. So, like, when I'm, like, working on something, I have to, like, put my phone away, I have to turn off TV, I have to turn, like, everything off, and I have to, like, literally be like, okay, you are doing this. But I also have to, like, get it, like, I have to get into that, like... Like, I can't force myself. I can't go in the room and just be like, okay, make something right now. Because it's not, that doesn't work for me. I have to be like, okay, I'm in this place, but I also need to cut off things because this is going to distract me, because I will sometimes get easily distracted. But I also, too, know what it's kind of helped me before is almost treating the creative stuff that I'm doing as like my 9-to-5 job, in the sense of like saying like, oh, I have a deadline for this. Yeah. This is how this is going to get done, because I realize I work better with, like, I work better under pressure. Mm-hmm. That's how I work. I like, because it's like, okay, I got to get it done. When I have like this like long enough time to get something done, then I'm like, okay, well, I can do it like a few hours from now. Or I can do it tomorrow. Or I can do it next week. And then I just keep prolonging and prolonging it. And I'm like, I have to turn my things into like deadlines. So everything that I do is always like, this needs to be done by March 15th at this time, and that's kind of what helps me. But I know that does, again, that still takes willpower on your own, because again, you're still setting the deadline, where it's like your job is like, you're thinking of it like, I'm gonna get fired if I don't do this, you know.
I have a question, something you said. I used to think that way as well, like, if I can't just sit down and say I'm gonna do this thing, because like I have to be in the zone in the moment. But I'm starting to kind of reshape my thinking and say, okay, maybe I am not in, what is happening with you over here?
I just dropped my phone.
You guys, no, I'm
kidding. Sorry, guys. But I had to reshape my thinking and say, okay, maybe I'm not inspired or in the zone in the moment to do that. But whatever I come up with over here is practice. So when I go back to this thing, I'm stronger at it because I've been practicing, I don't know, working on dialogue. In your case, practicing some transitions or some production pieces. Your case, writing mini monologues for these plays. Like, thinking of it as like, maybe I'm not in the zone to work on the passion project, but I want to work on the passion part of it.
That's true, because it's also too like giving yourself either practice or building the inspiration and stuff like that too. So yeah,
and something else can come out of the thing you was just messing around with.
That is also another thing that's happened. There's things that I've like started, it started one way and then turned into something completely different. And I'm like, if I didn't do this, this would happen. But it, you know, if I would have stayed with the original plan, then this, to me, almost better thing wouldn't have happened. So yeah, that also happens too.
What about you, Percy?
What about me? What?
Have you had this experience where you're starting to like put the project along and just work on the passion part?
I don't know that I have. I don't know that I have, if I'm being honest. Like, I don't know. Like, I kind of just like put it up and it'd be up.
Actually, I have a question for you. Where do you pull inspiration from to create, to get to these passions or things like that?
That's a good question. Well, for me, I this is a common thing that people say, but like, I'm a highly emotional person.
Okay.
And as such, I need a way to channel what I'm experiencing, because otherwise I can't really communicate effectively. I can't I need to do it. And so I think that's mostly where my inspiration comes from, being honest. Like, my emotions inspired me. That, and also like, when I see authentic relationships, like relationships that feel just like that electric spark of chemistry, not even just like romantic, like platonic, anything, any human interaction that feels authentic, that actually does inspire me. Like mm-hmm. I've sometimes seen like people like in airports and stuff, and I like think of like writing a monologue for that person, or like I'll write a song about, or I know I feel like we all do this, like when you
people watch,
like, people watch and you make stories about mm-hmm. that yes. person.
It's actually kind of fun to do.
Yeah, it is. I've done that plenty of times, and I think it inspires me because sometimes it's really easy when you get in your cone of whatever your life is or whatever you do, you forget that there's so many other people that you don't know and experiences that you haven't had. And so for me, it's inspiring because it's just like, wow, like there's this whole other person that's experiencing this life, the same life I'm living, but in a different way that I don't have any connection with. But like mm-hmm. the only connection we have is just this human connection we have as people that are living here. I don't know. That inspires me.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
And I think I'll give her some credit. Taylor Swift did that with the Folklore album.
She did.
She looked at a box of pictures and created stories for the images that she saw.
You know what? Speaking of that, I did want to ask, like, Folklore was a passion project of Taylor Swift's during the pandemic, right? Like, that's not something she was planning. What are some of y'all's, like, favorite passion projects? Like, do you know, like, if a celebrity did something?
Oh, okay.
Like, I'll say mine is something that literally changed my life. Tori Kelly's gospel album is one of my favorite passion projects, because the first time I heard it, it made me feel so calm. The entire thing just made me feel so calm and not confident, but like just at ease, that I listened to Tori Kelly's gospel album every single time I board a plane, because we all know I don't like flying. I'm anxious about flying, but whatever, I do it when I need to. But every time I get on a flight, I put on Tori Kelly's gospel album, and I will not do anything else until it's got. I started the second song, and I won't do anything else until it's gotten to the last song on that album. I do that every single flight. And that passion project that Victoria Kelly released has. So if Tori Kelly ever sees this, just know, girl, you really did literally change my life. I mean, yeah,
that's great. I didn't even realize that was a passion project.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a really good gospel album too. Kirk yeah. Franklin and her really did a good job at making it like gospel, but also her. Mm-hmm. Hotels.
Very much.
Jasmine Sullivan Hotels. I'm gonna leave it there. You?
Why you just go leave it?
Because
there?
I mean, I love you, Jasmine, but the monologues, they're no longer on my phone because I can't deal with them.
You see that? Literally, he just told you his favorite passion project and then critiqued it in the same breath.
Well, Jordan asked me the question because I was going to leave it alone.
I think his question was, why is it your favorite passion project?
That's not what you asked me.
Wait, I thought you were asking the question.
No, he was asking me, he was like, what was that?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, no, I was saying, like, why did you just want to leave it there?
Because I was going to leave it there. Oh, but he provoked it.
Anyway,
that's fine. I mean, tell your truth.
I mean, that's the truth. I do love Hotels. That's a great album. After I heard the monologues once or twice, it's like, I don't need to hear this again. I already know the story.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
I enjoy them, but yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking of like, I'm had to think about like when someone actually said this is a passion project, because I started thinking about albums, and I'm like, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure Purple Rain, the movie, is a passion project. I think
it is,
and it's a petty response.
Yeah,
it's a petty response.
Yes. So Rick, he was on tour with Rick James, and was like, there was talk about Rick James doing this, and to get back at Rick James, he had Purple Rain licensed as a movie, stole the love interest who was supposed to be in Rick James's movie, and brought her over to Purple Rain.
I had no idea about that. I didn't know.
Wait, is that real?
Yes, look it up.
I mean, I ain't gonna do it right now, but I believe you.
We'll look it up and confirm it on the next episode. Yeah. But I believe you. I feel like, okay. Well,
because wow. Princess Petty.
I mean, yeah.
My mic is on.
I love him. He always has something to say, and I don't know. I just love that man. But
now who gonna sing that part? That song opened up with "Your Butt Is Mine." Now who's saying that to who? That comment was hilarious.
It really was. Oh, Prince had no filter, and I love it. But yeah, I would say that, just because that was so fucking cool to make. I mean, it was like obviously the album, but then it was like a movie, because I feel like too, it was like, you know, obviously Michael did visual stuff, but also, but I feel like it was like this was like a movie that went film. to the movie theater. You know,
I don't think there's anything been that as successful as because J Lo just tried this with hers.
There are other
visual like the, films.
I think David Bowie did one.
Is it as iconic as Prince?
I mean, not for me because I can't even remember the name of it, but I'm sure that it's very highly revered.
Yeah, I feel like there's probably other people. We probably just it might not have been people like we were interested films, in. Yeah.
I'm interested because like that's very different than what like people like Beyonce do, who's like a is visuals with music. But
well, Lemonade is a musical film.
But oh, it's actually, different.
No, it's not. It's not. You're right.
I was like with Prince, that is a film.
It's a film.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's anything I haven't come across. So I'll be interested to know if there's something else that's out there that's like that.
I can't think of one, nor I would be curious, though, to know. But that, again, I think that's why I really liked it, because I was like, wow, this is actually a movie. And again, me liking visuals and even being a music artist, it kind of ties it all.
And honestly, growing up, I thought Purple Rain was a movie and the album was a soundtrack to this. Like, thinking that the movie script was honestly done first.
Maybe I did think that.
I actually think that is what it was. I think he just... But again, he also had...
Or is it the inverse, that he did the album first and then made a movie to match the album? I think I
realized later on that it was that one.
The inverse.
Because I thought when I was younger, it was the other way around.
Yeah.
And I'm like... But again, we will fact check to make sure.
Right. Now we're speaking like this is fact.
Right. Right. Either way, I just know that I loved it. And I know he also did another movie, too, that also had an album with it and stuff, too. So he was a visual person, which I appreciate. So, but I love when people do things that kind of step a little bit outside of their main thing and combine all of it together. So, and Prince did that.
There is another one. It wasn't good.
Oh.
Glitter.
You know what's so funny about you saying that?
I forgot about Glitter. Yes.
I promise you, it's so funny that, because what I was going to say, I don't think none of us have heard it, but apparently Mariah Carey, like back, you probably know this, Mariah Carey back in the 90s recorded like an alternative rock album under a fake name. Did you hear about that?
No.
So correct me if I'm wrong, because I will probably fuck the story up at some point, but apparently like she was recording one of her 90s albums and she just like wanted to do something outside of what she had been doing, but the label wouldn't let her do like a musical departure that was like that strong. So she partnered with some like alternative rock people and under a fake name or under a different name, it was a duo, I believe. And they recorded in New York City an entire alternative rock album.
The whole album.
That was only released, I want to say locally, to like local record stores and stuff like that, and it never got commercially released. Like,
I would love to hear it though.
Yeah, there was like the reason I know that there were snippets of one song on the internet.
Oh really? I haven't heard anything.
There were, and I heard this story a long time ago, and it was, I remember specifically, it was a SoundCloud link that like had like, so it,
I'm gonna look it up.
You should look it up. But like, this is like,
I want to hear that too.
Mariah Carey,
because Mariah Carey was singing in the 90s.
She was, but I heard the snippet and I could tell that it was Mariah Carey, but it didn't sound like her. She wasn't doing what we know of as a Mariah Carey vocal. Like, it, she actively sounded like an alternative rock singer.
But didn't like Miley do that too though?
Yeah, Miley did she actually has, I think in my opinion, like two at least passion projects, because she did
Miley Dies and her Dead Pets. That was definitely a
passion project. That was one for sure. I feel like that Malibu era kind of was one too, a little bit, but definitely that one, because it was like super like alternative. Like I could tell the drugs was strong on that.
Very
that
strong. Project.
That's Miley is how I discovered what the word sativa meant. Sativa.
Sativa. I was like sativa.
No, because she was like, she's like, I don't smoke weed, I smoke sativa. And I was like, what is sativa? Wait, that sounds dangerous.
But
that is what sativa.
I know. It was a joke. I didn't catch the joke.
It sounded like that wasn't
because I googled. I googled sativa.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out like, what the joke was.
Yeah, I don't
know. Yeah,
not a joke.
Yeah, but it's kind of like Demi Lovato says she's but California sober. Well, sorry to bring them.
I'm like, whoa.
Because I had a quick flashbacks of her documentary. Yeah,
that documentary
was a passion project.
It was
a passion project. The Dancing with the Devil one was a passion project because she wanted to talk. Because she that was a passion project because she had just done a documentary about her getting out of like substance abuse or whatever, blah, 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 blah. And Dancing with the Devil, that one came out of her feeling like she was being inauthentic in the last.
I think that's the one I saw.
Yeah. The one that she did most recently was over the pandemic, I want
to
say.
Well, the one with the where she got out of the hospital from overdose and went back to do drugs again?
And then went to go, yeah, that
That's the one I saw.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's
yeah.
It.
Oh, okay.
She did that one because she did a documentary a few years prior saying that she was like out of that and like all that other stuff. Or like, I shouldn't say specifically that, but whatever that was, she did this one because she felt she was being inauthentic in that one. And in fact, she mentioned when she would like go out on stage with DJ Khaled and Kalani, like, I went to the Barclays concert with Demi Lovato and they were like talking about her being sober and like how good that was and whatever. Blah, 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 blah. And in that documentary, she was like, I definitely was not sober.
Wow.
When they said that. And so she did that documentary as a passion project, which I watched because I'm also a really big Demi Lovato fan. Also, if y'all have not... Her other passion project, holy fuck, that album she just released.
The Rock album.
The Rock album, so good. Like, if you like Demi Lovato, some of her best vocals. But anyway, I preferred that passion project because it was more authentic, it was honest, and she ended that documentary saying, I don't know what's going on in my life. I'm trying.
At least,
I can't
button
this
honest.
Up. It's
that's
so honest. And I felt like, I felt like, you know what? Her life is publicized so much. I'm sure people have a lot of negative things to say about her. But one thing I can say is she is taking accountability for herself. And she's taking accountability for the story she's telling us about how she's living her life. And honestly, that's inspiring to me.
I like that.
I like that. Another passion project I just thought of was Chloe's debut album was her passion.
You know what?
Project.
We can wrap this up.
Stop! she did everything. I was just being all happy and inspired. And Jordan's like... Chloe's debut album sucked.
I didn't say that.
He didn't say that.
I said that was a passion project for her. I just thought of somebody else that did it. Because that was so personal, you know, and people tore it apart.
I like, it's called In Pieces.
All right. And
well, so, I liked her album, just so that we're clear.
I did too. That album was in my top five of 2023 albums I listened to.
Oh, great. Okay.
Like, not top five albums I like love, but like, the ones like
the
most listened.
The most, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You were about to say something, I feel like. I think I kind of cut you off.
I forgot. Oh, I was just going to say how passion projects are, at the end of the day, it always keeps the person who created it honest.
Yeah. Yes. Which, again, is what I love the most about them. And yeah, so.
And keep us honest. If y'all see this and we've been talking about this and we don't hold each other accountable, write in the comments, be like, hey, how's that play coming? How the mix is going? Transition, sorry.
Mixes and productions and visuals.
You're right. Yeah.
You know, keep us accountable.
The album 5 to 7 years from now.
okay. Listen, if I find $30,000 laying around, it'll come out faster.
I think you can find
that. I think you can figure that out. Mm.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining.
Well, this was great. And again, my name is Jordan.
My name is Daryl.
I'm Nikki.
And this is Hell I Don't Know. We will talk to you guys again.
I said, Daryl.